feet. Knocks off number one Indiana.
Brent Spillane continues to be the hottest thing in college baseball.
The Illini win it over Ohio State 28-21 at the Horseshoe in Columbus.
Darren for the tie. He got it.
Oh,
he got it. 80-80.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another winning episode of Oski Talk. The Illini are now on a three-game winning streak. I'm Anthony Pasquale with Patrick Catazone, and I've never seen so much smiles between the two of us.
Yeah, 3-0. Who would have thought?
Not me.
Yeah, no, we're not doing that
either. Yeah, we're overplaying that. But still, it's amazing that Illinois has turned a 2-4 season into a 5-4 record, one game away from clinching bowl eligibility. And it all started with beating the number 6 team in the country at that time with Wisconsin,
yeah.
And it continued this Saturday against Rutgers. Right. Illinois finally took care of a bad opponent and really just put them away. Didn't let them hang around except in the first half. As soon as they get into that third quarter, they just exploded, and Illinois is riding high.
Yeah, I think you made a good point, too, the last couple of weeks, just saying – you know, it really started with the Michigan at halftime. Like, we've seen a completely different
Literally
team.
Literally, since then, this team has been stopping everybody in front of them. The most points they've allowed in a game was, 23 to the number 6 team in Wisconsin? And since then, it was 6 against Purdue? 3 against Purdue? I can't remember. 6, I think, or 7 maybe. They did allow a touchdown. And then this week, only 10 to Rutgers. They've been so good defensively, and then finally the offense is starting to click. You know, they're getting the double contributions from Reggie Corbin and Dre Brown. Brandon Peters finally got to air it out a little bit. He didn't get to throw it a ton, but he had a completion of 48 yards and 52, I believe. So he's getting to air it out a little bit. Rod Smith is having a little bit of balance in his play calling rather than having to rely on some long third downs that he had in the Nebraska game, for instance, or the Eastern Michigan game. So everything seems to be clicking for Illinois. It seems like everybody around them is rallying with them. A lot of the city of Chicago is kind of joining in. A lot of former Bears are supporting Lovey. And Lovey, you know, like we said, the Purdue game was his biggest game, proved it wasn't a fluke. Then he has to win another one against a bad team in Rutgers, not let it be a trap game. Did that too. And now even he's calling next week the biggest game of his career because Illinois has a shot to clinch bowl eligibility. What a great turnaround from Lovey. I know I've been on this little rant here, but I'm going to apologize for saying that he wasn't the guy. We just need to be patient, and I'm loving what he's doing with this team right now.
Yeah, I mean, he could lose. Let's be honest. He could lose the last three games. I don't think he will. But I like that he could win all three of them. You know, I think the last one thing he has proved about this Illinois team is that it's not last year's team that is going to get blown out 63-0.
Like, they're just not going to do that. I was talking in the press box with a few people, and it's like, I was like, man, it must stink to beat Rutgers. This is a normal game for them, you know, losing 38-10. And every Illinois game has been competitive. They really haven't gotten blown out at all.
Yeah, that's the thing about that Iowa game that I think people don't really, like, I don't want to say understand about it or don't get, like, the score was bad, but they just got beat everywhere. Offensively, they could never get a drive going. Defensively, they let up every drive. Like, in the Minnesota game, which is, in my opinion, our worst game all year.
Yeah, I think so.
We were competitive.
Two defensive touchdowns.
Yeah. Turnovers were a huge issue
on
the offensive side.
We didn't have BP.
And we didn't have Brandon Peters. We were injured. So, like, that game, I'm completely fine with him having. If he has that game, like, every year, that's okay. That's okay by me. Injuries, bad turnovers, you're going
to
lose the game.
But 40-17 is still respectable enough, whereas 63-0 is like, fire this man.
Right.
Like, doesn't matter who you are. If you lose a game 63-0, things aren't looking good. And basically, they've turned around the whole narrative of Lovey's tenure in this year, and I'm here for it. I love it.
I'm the cynical one. My two big criticisms of Illinois right now is really the pass rush is getting to him. They're
getting to Brandon
Peters.
Yeah.
He's not dumping the ball off. If he sees a rush coming, he just tucks and goes down. That, I think, is a little bit on the offensive line. The offensive line, unbelievable. Run block, pass block could be better.
I think it's a... I'm just going to cut you off right there on that point. Yeah. I think that's a lack of... At least in the last game against Rutgers, and Rutgers doesn't even have that great of a pass rush. It's just the situations that Peters was getting sacked on. He got sacked twice. Both were on third downs and less than 5 yards. And I don't understand why Rod Smith was calling deep passes on third and five. I don't understand that. I don't think you should be trying to go deep there. I think that's more of a second and five.
It depends. There was a situation against Purdue that was third and one. And
yeah, I know you love
that. The corners were 1 yard deep.
But they got the first thing.
And they got the first down. They got the first down
in these situations.
Unbelievable running back and Reggie Corbin. But like, if we don't have Reggie Corbin, that is a pass. Like, hey, you got a pass. Yeah. No single high safety and corners playing that close. Like that's a down the field throw.
Yeah, my whole thing is though on third down and short pretty much. If you're gonna pass, the defense is bringing the house. That's just how third downs work.
Right.
In college football. And if you're continuing to look long and, like you said, not dump it off, you're going to take those sacks. Right. That's why I'm not a big fan of that on third down. Right. It might be Brandon Peters' reads, but it also might just be a bad play call on third down.
Yeah.
That might be a better shot to take on first or second.
And that's a thing that could, like, that's a learning thing. That's the best part about the whole issue is that it could easily be solved.
It can be.
Get the ball quick, you know, to your dump route. That's an easy fix in spring training. I honestly see it getting cleaned up over the summer.
And what's your second criticism?
My second criticism is the secondary needs to be better. We have the coaching to have a really... Like, I like Kenyatta Hudson. Hobbs hasn't had the year we thought he'd have. Like, honestly thought he might go to the NFL after this year. I think he's coming back for another year. I don't think he gets drafted.
Yeah, well, Lovie Smith made mention after the game that Nate Hobbs has been... so good this year and has gone unrecognized a lot because he hasn't had those big plays.
Right.
But he finally got the big play against Rutgers, and we're going to hear from Nate Hobbs now.
Hey, Coach mentioned the exclusive touchdown club for the defense and said that you joined that today. What does that mean to you?
Man, I've been just trying to find me one all year, and I know whenever I get the ball in my hand, I know what to do with it. So I knew I was going to – I knew I can get into the end zone whenever I got the ball in my hand. It was just a matter of getting it in my hand. That's what I tried to do today.
What was the mood like at halftime? What changed?
I feel like we came out, like, kind of flat. Like, I feel like as a team, not as a whole, but as a team, we came out a little flat. And when we got into the locker room, we just knew we had to turn it up. We knew they couldn't play with us. So we just tried to turn around the attitude. That's what we did. We came out with a spark.
You got 8 takeaways during this 3-game win streak.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go, like, what's changed or how has that clicked for you guys? I know that's what we said.
Mm-hmm. Nothing's really changed. We just knew what we could do, and we're doing it to the fullest. So it's we've always had that mindset of get takeaways, but we seen what we can do when we all bond together as brothers and go hard, and we know we can be a great team, get that potential. I think we forming into it. And that's
what's that do for you guys when you get a takeaway, and especially when you score? What's that do for your team?
Execution execution fuels emotion. So whenever you execute and we get a takeaway, that's an example of execution, it fuels emotion. It sparks the whole, not only the defense, but the whole team as a whole. So I feel like we feed off that.
Hey, team. See the offense change when that happens too?
Yeah, I feel like the offense comes out with a deeper meaning to go score for us because we got them. That takeaway.
Thanks to Nate Hobbs for doing that interview post-game. Yeah, to add on to my point about the corners, you know, Hobbs is one of the more experienced guys. He's clearly our best corner. I'm not trying to dump on him too much. But the other guys, you know, Witherspoon, Quan, Martin.
Finally, Tony Adams.
You know, Adams has been really good. I'm not going to take anything on him. But, you know, Brown, Witherspoon, Martin have a decent amount to learn still. And they're all sophomores or a freshman in Devin Witherspoon. They just need time to develop.
Plus, Beeson will be with them next year.
Right, who should be good to go, has developed.
Yeah.
So, you know, the corners are going to get better next year, but right now we're stuck where we can give up all some big plays, and that's a bummer.
You've got to hope that next year is the whole culmination of the defense because right. you'll have the
linebackers.
The young secondary finally maturing, and you'll have the last few years of the solid front and linebacking core. Mm-hmm. Because after that, they might have to do a little defensive rebuild on the fly because you're losing Harding after this year, Hansen after next year, and a few more guys on the line there. Plus, I think Milo.
Carney.
Too. Yeah.
Gay.
So a lot of guys. But
Jackson.
This year and next year are the most important, Milan. At least for that current defensive mm-hmm. core. And once that secondary kind of comes into form, this could be a pretty scary defense even next year.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of a guy who can tear up a defense... Dre Brown up next here on Oski Talk.
You know, kind of coming into a new era of winning, and it felt good today to get another win.
Lovie mentioned in his press conference that next week is potentially the biggest game of his tenure and the opportunity to go to a bowl game. He doesn't normally make one game because of the next, but what does it mean that next week you guys can't go to a bowl game?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is the biggest game of my career, you know, honestly. Like, each game, it's kind of cool each game becomes the biggest game of your career. You know, if we're lost today, Wisconsin, Purdue really doesn't mean much, you know. So each game gets bigger and bigger. And, yeah, we're excited, you know, for the opportunity to just be in that position.
Okay, thanks, Trey.
All right, thanks.
Hey, Trey, you said that I haven't really talked much about bowl games. Have you guys embraced that this week now, knowing what's at stake?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we haven't been in bowl talk in such a long time. But, yeah, just the opportunity. The fact that we got to put ourselves in a position after losing four games, you know, not a lot of people – kind of people wrote us off, you know. People saying we'd probably be 2-10 and whatnot. But to be 5-4 right now with three games remaining, it's not where we want to be, but, you know, I'm glad we got there and fought back.
You said something about it yesterday at the quarterback club. You said we're going to have fun December, January.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, should you have said that based on what Lovie has been saying? You know,
yeah, I mean, I just that was kind of my plan, you know. Like, right. I don't plan on losing the rest of the games, you know. You want to win each game.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, the bowl game is that's the goal right now, you know. Like, six wins, you know, that'll take us. Obviously, we don't want to, you know, settle out there, but right. you know, just the fact that we put ourselves in that spot, you know, we're excited for the future.
There were a whole lot of believers at one point, like you said. Mm-hmm. What was it ever a problem internally?
No. I mean, we knew we were a good team. We just had to, you know, finish, I guess. And Wisconsin, I think, just showed you, hey, we finished the game. And, yeah, after that, we kind of just started rolling.
Talk about halftime today. Coach said you guys were disappointed. Is that right? Was there any talk amongst the guys? I mean, you know, we got to play better than the second half?
Yeah, it was just kind of, I don't know, just like, what are we doing? You know, like, let's go win the game. And, you know, we came out with a fire in the second half. Defense made a ton of plays. And offense, you know, we did our job as well.
What's that like, Trey, as an offensive player when you see defensive touchdown, turnover? What's that like on the sideline?
Yeah, it's a little weird because you're kind of sitting there for a while. You know, they score, and, well, you have to go right back in, you know. So we're sitting there for a while, and we're just like, well, are we going to be able to go in? And then they get another pick six. We're like, guys, we're just hanging out, you know, the second half. We'll let you guys take care of it. But, yeah, I mean, it's points on the board, so we'll take it. You know, it's hard to score, so for them to get that, that's huge.
Brandon's 54-yard run, did that kind of break things open a little bit for you guys offensively?
Just, yeah. And then obviously another big play after that to Josh. Yeah, definitely. I mean, Coach Rod did a good job in the second half, kind of getting us to settle down a little bit. We were a little frustrated. I mean, they play hard the first half, you know. They played hard the whole game. And, yeah, we were a little unsettled, but it was nice to get some good play calls. And, you know, those explosive plays are huge in those type of games.
Were you okay that he got pulled down at the two so you could punch one in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was fine with that. I mean, I got tackled at, like, the two-yard line last week, and he scored on a QB sneak. So I was like, hey, you know, we'll just switch. Yeah.
Thanks to Dre Brown for that interview. See, this might be a hot take, but I think he has been the MVP of the offense this mm-hmm. year. I think in games that Illinois really needed that burst,
especially
the last few games that, mind you, they've won, Dre Brown has been a huge factor. I even saw it all the way back in the Michigan and the Nebraska games. He's churning and churning and churning on just regular kick returns. Then he gets his carries and he makes the most out of them. All of a sudden, there's a three-headed monster in the backfield for Illinois, And that opens up the passing lanes for Brandon Peters, like he joked with me last Monday. Did you tell Rod Smith that? Like, mm-hmm. Rod Smith can do so much more with this offense, and I think it's because of Dre Brown. Because with Reggie Corbin,
right.
You know, he's explosive. I'm not trying to say Dre's better than Reggie, but a lot of times last year when Reggie was out of the game, it was like, oh, they're definitely passing here. But now with Dre Brown being such a threat, it really completes this offense, adds a lot of balance. So I love Dre Brown this year.
Yeah, the one thing, you touch on Rod Smith. I think he's holding the playbook back a little bit just because of quarterback play. I think if he gets a really well-developed quarterback who's seen the system, hopefully that guy, yeah. The hope is that Isaiah Williams is that guy who develops, knows the playbook, and is the perfect fit for quarterback for Rod Smith. That's the hope. Once that happens, his playbook will open up even more. But he is, I mean, I don't know if you've seen the Urban Meyer analysis. Like, Rod Smith is really smart when it comes to offense.
Totally.
He and we talked about a couple weeks ago when I was talking, I think, about how he bet on himself to come here, that he would be, you know, a good enough offensive coordinator to really help turn around Illinois. Because, I mean, it was left in a dumpster fire before Lovie Smith. And, I mean, you know, even before Rod Smith was here, it was the offensive play calling was terrible. Yeah. He bet on himself. It was a great bet, and Illinois looks like they're going bowling. So he bet on himself and he won. That's really good. Now it's just retaining him for a long time because he could leave and do the same thing elsewhere.
And I will say too, when the weather hasn't been a factor, he has given Peters a few chances to go downfield, and like we said, he completed one long one to Donnie Navarro, and then the beautiful touchdown pass to Bebe that really broke the game wide open. So let's hear from the wide receiver who caught that pass from Brandon Peters, Josh Amater Bebe, next on Oski Talk.
Bebe couldn't pull the first one down, but you made sure to get another one. Speak a little bit about, you know, the offensive performance in the second half coming to life like that.
I felt, we definitely came to life. And but like I said, like the momentum from the defense making plays, from the fumble to the pick six, all those things kind of work together and, you know, just give the offense the energy that we need in order to make plays.
Sure looked like you caught that. What happened at the end of that?
I mean, yeah, that's what I thought personally. You know, I was looking at the film and I caught it. And when I went out of bounds, I got 2 feet in two. And then when I went out of bounds, that's when it had come out. I guess there's some type of rule, like the Calvin Johnson rule or whatever. You have to secure it the whole way through. Whatever, you know. But, I mean, it is what it is. So.
How nice is it to get the second one, though, to kind of make up for it?
No, it was relieving, man, because I really wanted to score. I really wanted to, you know, help the team, you know, add to that momentum and stuff like that. So it was awesome to, you know, score the end.
Josh, what does the takeaways on defense do for you guys as an offense?
Yeah, it just keeps that momentum up. It keeps that energy up. They made a play, now we feel like we have to make a play. And then when we make the plays and they make plays, and we just kind of build from there, and that's how you put teams away.
Yeah, it feels like you guys have really capitalized on it. Like, you guys are scoring off those. Is it just like you can't let them run up you? Or
yeah, well, I mean, I guess, man. It's just like we're all in this thing together, but definitely we want to make sure if they're holding up their end of the deal, then we want to hold up ours, you know? So,
Josh, Lovie said he mentioned bowl eligibility for the first time, one win away. What was it like hearing your head coach talk about that after this win?
Yeah, no, that's awesome. It's going to be huge for this program. This isn't something they haven't done in a long time here, you know, and we're so close, and we still have 3 games left to play. And personally, I think that we can win all 3 of those games. They're all wonderful, you know. That would be awesome. You know, the more we win, the better bowl game we'll get to. But, again, we have to just take every single, you know, game by game, and not really look too far into the future. So
you tweeted out, who would have thought? Did you guys believe?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of people, like, didn't, and they didn't really have high standards. I mean, obviously, I believe as a player because I'm the one going out there to play, you know. But, yeah, man, like, we're starting to build in confidence, and we're starting to prove to the world who we are.
Do you guys still play with a chip on your shoulder? Because it feels like you guys are a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like we do. I feel like we do. If anything, we're really just trying to play to our potential, you know. When we win, even when we beat Wisconsin, they're an awesome team, but I still don't feel like we played amazing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's about us more than it is about the other team. So if we can kind of play to our potential, which I feel like we did best this season that we've had, you know, then we'll give ourselves a shot to win every game.
Can you talk about what the locker room is like during halftime?
Yeah. During halftime, it was 10-10, and we knew we weren't playing our best football, and they were barely hanging in. And all we had to do was just put the foot on the gas. That's what coaches kept on saying. Put the foot on the gas, don't let up, and, you know, we'll be happy when the end of the game comes. So Lovey was really adamant about making sure that we don't look at the scoreboard and treat it as if it's 0-0, because it basically was, you know, and they're playing their best football at that time. But just to make sure that we did everything we could to put them away early in the second half.
What is it about you guys and the second half? Just what kind of light turns on, or how does that happen?
I don't know. Like, I mean, I don't know. I guess, like I said, when we see people making plays, everybody feels that personal responsibility to do their part in making plays also. You know, like I said, when Dele gets the pick six, and when Nate gets the pick six, just like, geez, like, I need to add to this win too, you know, and everybody feels that. And then when everybody's feeling it, everybody does their part. When everybody does their part, I mean, you see what happens, you know, we beat teams 38-10. So.
Cool. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Josh, for doing that post-game interview. That man is a beast. I'm glad he's on our team.
Yeah,
I'm glad we have him for another year.
I know you guys all have heard of the term mossed, like when a receiver jumps up over somebody and catches a ball. That's the NFL term. I think the college term should be bay-bayed. Like, you just got bay-bayed. And he did it in the end of the first quarter for a touchdown in the corner of the end zone. Didn't get called for a touchdown. They called it back. I still don't think that was the right call. I think it should have been a touchdown. But nonetheless, he does have 7 receiving touchdowns this year, and he's clearly BP's favorite target, and I love that connection they're forming.
Yeah, I hope that he stays another year, I'll be honest.
I'd love that. I could see him playing on Sunday somewhere, but hopefully Illinois retains him for another season.
You can only hope.
You can only hope.
Unbelievable. But that's going to wrap it up for Football Talk. We're going to really quick touch on the first game of the year for basketball.
Yeah, speaking hope.
Yeah, we gave a preview last episode. This is more of a, hey, Nicholls State's coming up. And I don't know if you saw the exhibition game. Did you see that?
Well, yeah, I mean, Illinois had a little slow start, but they took over, and the better team definitely won that game. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing to take away is Kofi Coburn's a beast.
Coburn is so good. And now we know how to pronounce his name.
Yeah, apologies for mispronouncing his name for the first time we've talked about him this year. But he is a beast. However you want to say his last name, doesn't matter. The dude's going to put up points, grab rebounds, and look literally a full head taller and better than everybody else on the court. He's just a grown man. I don't know how else to put it.
I have a theory that him and Verdonk are actually not the ages they say they
are.
Yeah,
I mean,
turns out they're both 25.
Yeah, who knows?
But they are big.
But there's 4 years of eligibility for Kofi, and hopefully we get all 4.
Right.
And
Verdonk.
Yeah, true. All signs point to this Illinois season being good. Verdonk is a really good 6 or 7 man. It looked like the starting lineup's going to be Io, Trent, Feliz, which I like Feliz at the 3. I think he provides a little spark to this team. And then Georgie and Kofi. So then you got Kipper, you got Alan Griffin, DeMonte, and Verdonk coming off the bench. Yep. And that's all before Tev comes back from suspension. So
and Hamlin.
Yeah.
He'll probably be the 10 man.
This team's pretty deep.
Yeah, there's rotation
a lot to like for this team. So catch him Tuesday against Nicholls State. I'll be announcing it. Patrick will be there.
Schmaction.
A lot of schmaction on Tuesday night.
Yeah. Well, that'll do it for Oski Talk. For Anthony Pasquale, I am Patrick Cazzone. Thanks for listening. Make sure you tune in on Mondays and Thursdays. Thanks for listening, and ILL.
INI, baby.